I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into WGXC's morning show. Today we have a busy show, as we were going to tune into L.M. Ramsey and Kallus Liebfried's Hyper Acid, the most recent composition for Radio Amnion, the sonic transmissions of Care in Oceanic Space, a multi-year sound project for the waters of the Earth. We'll also hear a report from May 2nd from a rally at the Rensselaer County Jail calling for dignity, not detention, from our friends at WOOC in Troy. And we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service, the local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, and music and more from the WGXC Morning Show. It all starts after Jason Martin from Troy has finished singing this song, and then it's time for the local news on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
This is Stuart Moxham of The Gist, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Brooklyn Vegan runs down the lineup for the 2023 edition of 24-Hour Drone, set for May 27th through 28th at Basilica Hudson in Hudson. The annual event has been on hold in person since 2019 because of the COVID-19 pandemic. This year, the show is back in person with Yuka C. Honda of Saibo Mato, Wolf Eyes, Liturgy, Sarah Hines, Laura Ortman, and others performing at the event, which each year is webcast at WGXC.org and broadcast on 90.7 FM. The Basilica Hudson website has all the details about the 24-hour drone show May 27th and 28th at Basilica Hudson, and will air on WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stephanie Fleischman of Columbiaville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Friday, May 5th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Raga Justin reports in the Times Union that the state budget that passed this week includes expansion of the use of body scanning devices in New York's correctional facilities. State employees working at correctional facilities inmates, and anyone who is visiting an inmate could be subject to body scanning under the new rules. The story reports that prison and jail staff members say there is an increase in contraband and violence in the facilities. The body scanning is meant to replace body cavity searches. The state has authorized body scanning technology in correctional facilities since at least 2018, the story says. Right now, an estimated 15 jurisdictions have the technology. The scanners use, quote, ionizing radiation, unquote, in low doses, according to state regulations. But the National Cancer Institute says that this type of radiation, even in small doses, has been linked to higher risks of cancer. New York State Correctional Officers and Police Benevolent Association Union is in favor of the new rules. Union President Michael Powers said, quote, the safety and well-being of everyone who works or resides in a New York State prison is NSCOBA's top priority. Utilizing enhanced security measures like this will assist us in our efforts to reduce dangerous contraband from entering our facilities and in turn reduce violence, unquote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Green Media from the first Durham meeting since the announcement that the town is no longer eligible for many grants and other benefits after being decertified over noncompliance with the New York State Historic Preservation Office's Certified Local Government Program. Town Supervisor Sean Marriott's failure to appoint new members to the commission led to the decertification and loss of future grants. The town's historic preservation law was on the agenda of the workshop meeting, but it was immediately tabled at the motion of town councilperson Joan Breslin, who said the board should get legal advice before redrafting the document. But during the public portion of the meeting, the issue resurfaced. Breslin and Marriott did not seem interested in offers from community members to help compile a history of the commission and its past accomplishments for the town. Marriott also denied any adversarial relationship between the town board and the public, saying, quote, I take offense to say that I'm fearful on a committee to assist on this, unquote. The town supervisor did say he wanted fewer experts on a future committee, saying he wanted to relax the required certified local government qualifications for commission members. Resident Richard Goldstein said, quote, there's a whole lot of healing that needs to be done. Otherwise, this is just going to be a repeat of what you had before. Whether it's a committee, however, the community is engaged, and in whatever format, if one wants to have a whole non-polarized environment, an effort needs to be made by everyone who's engaged in this, unquote. And Marriott answered, quote, that needs to come from both sides, unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Nick Reisman at New York State of Politics reports that state lawmakers said on May 4th that an estimated 81% of New York school children will be eligible to receive free breakfast and lunch next school year because of state and federal aid for food programs. New York's recently finalized budget included $134 million for the meals. Still, some advocates say it is not enough, such as Healthy Schools, School Meals for All New York Kids, a coalition of groups backing the plan. They released a statement that said, quote, while we are glad that New York will be expanding access to free school meals, the funding included in this year's budget still leaves far too many kids hungry and families struggling to make ends meet, unquote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Andrea Macko reports in Porcupine Soup that Greene County hunters killed 2,318 deer last season, including 1,272 adult bucks. That's slightly less than in 2020, but slightly more than last year or 2019. New York State saw a 10% increase last year to 231,961 deer killed during the 2022 hunting seasons. The youth hunt weekend last season saw a 38% increase in dead deer. That may have been because of a pilot program from the state legislature allowing hunters aged 12 to 13 to hunt deer supervised with a firearm. Read more about this story in the Porcupine Soup. Read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, a chance of showers mainly afternoon. It will be partly cloudy with a temperature high near 62 degrees. On Friday night, it will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 41 degrees. And on Saturday, sunny with a high near 68 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 46 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia Counties.
This one won't miss. Awesome beyond description.
The most extraordinary output ever to emerge from the motion picture studio.
It cost $4 million and it has 4 million thrills.
Duel of the Fates from John Williams and the London Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a 3-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many 3-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXE will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a 3-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
By my best calculation, June 8th will be the day when Treasury can't pay its bills. There is a possibility, worst case scenario, that it will be June the 1st. It'll be very close. Best case scenario will be August 8th. So that gives you a sense of timing here.
Moody's Analytics chief economist Mark Zandi testified during a Senate hearing on the GOP's plan to raise the debt ceiling. The Limit, Save, Grow Act, which passed the House by a vote of 217 to 215, aims to raise the debt ceiling for a year while a series of spending cuts are made throughout the federal budget. Zandi said the plan would reduce employment by 800,000 jobs and slightly increase unemployment. Instead, he recommended the federal government suspend the debt ceiling until September 30th and that Congress should pass bills increasing the debt ceiling until after the 2024 elections. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is proposing a bill to raise the federal minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to $17 an hour. This is a $2 increase from his 2021 proposal. Numerous states have increased their minimum wages to between $10 and $15 an hour, while Washington, D.C.'s minimum wage is the highest in the nation at $16.10 an hour. Sanders says it's not possible to live on the current federal minimum wage.
We need an economy in which all of our workers earn a living wage. It is not acceptable today that nearly 35 million American workers earn less than $17 an hour.
As part of New York State's newly passed 2024 budget, a law banning the use of natural gas and other fossil fuels in new buildings was approved. The first in the nation all-electric building law requires all electric cooking and heating systems in new buildings under 7 stories by 2026 and in 2029 for taller buildings. While this is one of many laws passed in the budget, Andy Frank with the climate technology company Sealed describes other bills not included in the budget that might be approved later in the state's legislative session.
There's also legislation that did not make it into this budget called the New York Heat Act, but that may be introduced in the future, which would essentially apply the same principles of increasing performance standards and phasing in electrification for existing buildings.
Former Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio and several other members of the group were convicted of seditious conspiracy as part of the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. A fifth defendant was found not guilty on sedition, but was convicted of other felonies. This was the last of 3 sedition cases federal prosecutors brought against key figures in the attack on the Capitol. Attorney General Merrick Garland notes this is a decisive victory in a complex case.
Today's verdict makes clear that the Justice Department will do everything in its power to defend the American people and American democracy.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As the end of the legislative session draws near in Texas, we have an update on bills targeted at controlling Harris County's election administration, where logistical and technical problems marred November's election. VoteBeat Texas reports county officials still don't have a handle on how many voters were affected by ballot shortages, voting machine access problems, poor training, and late openings. Because Texas law allows countywide voting, voters could go to another polling place and vote, a reason why it's still unclear how many, if any, were disenfranchised. A bill ending countywide voting just passed in the Texas Senate. The lack of clarity has not stopped bills aimed at Harris County's issues, as well as a pending lawsuit from Republican candidates who claim the problems cost them the election. VoteBeat's report on resulting legislation includes Senate Bill 1933, which gives the Secretary of State the power to suspend and replace election officials in a county with a pattern of election administration problems. Similarly, SB 1039 requires county election officials to give satisfactory answers to questions regarding the election and allows the state to audit if necessary. Most telling is SB 1750, eliminating the post of election administrator just in Harris County and giving the election responsibility
responsibility to the county's clerk and tax collector. The House hears the bills shortly. We have links to the Vote Beat article and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
All day Saturday, May 6th, tune in SoundCamp's Reveille on Wavefarm and WGXC. It's a 24-hour listen to the Dawn Chorus around the world, beginning in London at midnight, circling the globe and returning to London the next day. We tune in across the Atlantic Ocean. We tune in at Wavefarm at sunrise to hear the sounds in the Wavefarm pond and the birds in the Wavefarm forest. Then we cross North and South America, the Pacific Ocean, across Asia, Australia, Africa and Europe, and return to London at midnight Saturday night and Sunday morning. Tune in to Reveille all day Saturday, May 6th on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Achievements, yeah. Oh, my mind. Oh, my mind.
next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Dignity, not detention, and a coalition of like 10 other people have united once again. We might have to make this an annual thing, unfortunately, because this is our second time building such coalition. But we wanted to say thank you, welcome. And before we get started, we like to practice in the history of our people, what does it look like to say thank you to our ancestors? Thank you to the ones that we know, the names that we know, the folks who died and the freedom fighters who stood towards the test of times against all odds, whether it was against police violence, whether it was for immigrant rights, whether it was for housing rights or trans rights or women's rights. We thank you. We honor you.
Hey, neighbor!
Hey, neighbor!
Don't stand around!
Don't stand around!
This fight is your fight, too!
This fight is your fight, too!
Hey, neighbor!
I'm Ivy Hest. I'm the co-director of Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, and we are outside the Rensselaer County Jail.
What's taking place today?
Today we're protesting the collaboration that the Rensselaer County Jail has with ICE through their 287G contract.
And this is the only jail in New York that has opted into this, right?
The county, yes. This is the only one in the entire state that has this kind of contract.
And what should listeners know about this program and what's taking place today?
So today there was a huge group of folks at the Capitol today rallying for Dignity Not Detentions, a bill that would prevent the ability for county, state, city legislators to enter into contracts with ICE. And so that group has come here today, descended on the jail where we see what's going on when that happens, where they're detaining immigrants on behalf of ICE, and they have no business doing that.
So people are coming in from outside Rensselaer County. Why is this an issue that doesn't only affect this county?
So we've got a huge crew from Troy, too, because this is our backyard. I'm a Troy resident, and this impacts me and in my own community. But also this impacts the entire state, first of all, because this county is an embarrassment having this connection with ICE. But it also it makes this county unsafe for immigrants to be in. Right? It means that if somebody needs to call law enforcement for any particular reason, they can't because they can't trust police. A rolling traffic stop, as we've seen time and time again, can end up with a deportation order and people being detained for months on end just because they took their kids to ice cream one day and got detained from there. So we can't let that continue, and the ability that the state currently has to continue to make these kinds of things is only, it's dangerous. This is only a dangerous policy. So for the protection of the community, for the protection of our neighbors, for the protection of our entire community, we need to stop these kinds of contracts from happening.
Power to the people. No one is illegal. Power to the people. No one is illegal.
My name is Eileen Javier, and I am here today at this rally because we need to give power to the people, and definitely nobody is illegal in a stolen land.
So what do you specifically want to say to the Rensselaer County Jail?
We need to, this is not only about undocumented immigrants, this is about the people that have been arrested for crimes that they have committed or they might have not committed. But people need to be treated with dignity, no matter what they have done in the past. So what we want is that the conditions of the jail improve. My wish personally is that we close it down, but that will be a longer fight. And also we need to finish the 287G that gives authority to the Rensselaer County police officers to racial profile people that look like immigrants or basically that look like undocumented immigrants to stop them and detain them and deport them.
Manu with Latino Justice.
What's going on today?
Today we're here at a rally for Dignity Not Detention. We also just did an advocacy day in Albany. So we started by talking to our legislators, splitting into groups, and talking to them about why they should sponsor the bill. And now we're doing a rally at Rensselaer County Jail, because that is one of the jails that is using its facility to host detainees for ICE. So basically there's like four different county jails in the state of New York that hold detainees for ICE. So there's no ICE detention centers in New York, but there are county jails that host these detainees for ICE. So basically we're out here saying that New York should not be doing any, there should not be any contracts between county jails and ICE in New York State. And that's why we're here, to make sure that legislators pass that bill and that also the public is aware of what's happening.
So you came over from Albany with a bus full of people. What took over there, and how many people came from Albany over to Rensselaer County?
Well, we actually came from New York. So we met up in Manhattan around Penn Station at 6:30 a.m., got to Albany by 10. I would say there was maybe like 60 of us in that bus, and then maybe like 10, 15 people that came later on their own. So we were probably about 80 advocates from New York City that came together in Albany. There was also people from New Jersey that joined us and from other parts of the state. And all of us came here to Rensselaer County. Right, what took place in Albany was the part where we talked to our legislators. So we basically split up into groups depending on our, you know, our location, our district, so that we could be matched with our legislators. And we talked to legislators that haven't signed on to the Dignity Not Detention bill to convince them to sign on to the bill. We told them the details. We told them the facts. We told them historical context and really what this means for New York and why New York should pass this bill, in the sense that New York is considered, you know, advanced in terms of how it treats its immigrants in the state compared to other states. But if New York is still detaining immigrants with its jails, then that's not as progressive as it's named. So that's why we went to Albany, to make sure that legislators are passing the bill to make sure that New York is as progressive as it's supposed to be.
How does this issue affect people outside of Rensselaer County, even though it's Rensselaer County Jail?
Totally. Well, immigration is basically... immigrant detention is a network of injustice that is international, right? Even in the national landscape and the local landscape, it's all connected. That's basically to say, for example, people that are arrested in New York by a regular officer get taken into ICE custody and get put into places like Rensselaer County Jail. Or they can get taken to other jails around New York State, like, for example, Orange County Jail. So it's not an issue that can just be tackled in one place. It's the kind of issue that needs to get tackled everywhere, because people are getting detained everywhere. People are getting arrested everywhere. Decision makers are also everywhere. And this is also a profiteering business. Private businesses are making money off of detaining immigrants. And that is private businesses in places like Rensselaer, like Troy, like Albany. All of these places have companies that are profiting off of detaining immigrants. And that's why we need to come together to make sure that we're tackling this issue in every place possible.
Liberation for my people, liberation for my people.
Hey, so we're here in solidarity with our people inside and across the nation. And we recognize an ally with our neighbors inside and in similar prisons all over this country. Our energy, our hearts beat with them. And we recognize the only thing separating us are walls and cages, but we know it's the same system that fails us all that landed most folks behind bars. We strive for a society not just where black and brown lives matter, but where black and brown lives are cherished. That there are no illegal people on stolen land. We strive for a society where black, queer, trans, disabled, migrant people are free. Until then, we demand dignity, not detention. And dignity during detention on the path to abolition.
Dignidad durante detención en la ruta a abolición.
No fear, no hate, no ICE in our state.
No fear, no hate, no ICE in our state.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Time and time again, watching the crows go round. Another week sees its end. Watching the crows go round, watching the crows go round, watching the crows go round. Oh, I've been working hard, trying to make some money. Would you like sour cream on your potato, honey? I've been kissing ass, trying to keep it clean. Serving the middle class, yeah, it's a clean routine. Watching the clothes go round, watching the clothes go round, watching the clothes go round.
WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that New York State should address extreme summertime heat conditions within Coxsackie Correctional Facility, according to an independent prison oversight group. The Correctional Association of New York reported that sweltering heat posed serious challenges to the health of both inmates and employees at the Coxsackie Facility. Jennifer Scalp, executive director of CANY, said, and I quote, "Our visit to Coxsackie Correctional Facility has shed light on several concerning issues within our correctional system," end quote. Saying extreme heat conditions, and I quote, "pose serious challenges to the health and well-being of incarcerated individuals and staff," end quote. The Correctional Association of New York met with staff and interviewed 97 inmates over the course of those 2 days about issues in the prison. The group's report said, and I quote, "Numerous respondents highlighted the need for central air conditioning or fans in the building, and especially in their cells, where they reported that the small spaces made the air stagnant. People reported that the commissary did not have a sufficient stock of fans," end quote. The Department of Corrections and Community Services disagrees with the group's finding. They released a statement saying, and I quote, "Temperatures experienced at Coxsackie Correctional Facility indoor living and work areas are appropriate to summer and winter comfort zones," end quote. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that Claire Cousin has announced a primary challenge to Assemblyperson Dee Dee Barrett during a protest May 3rd in the hallway outside Barrett's Poughkeepsie office.
Cousin is currently Hudson's first ward on the Columbia County Board of Supervisors and is the director of the Albany Free School, and Barrett represents parts of Columbia and Dutchess counties in the State Assembly. Cousin is also program manager of the Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition, the vice chair of the Hudson Housing Authority's Board of Commissioners, and on the board of the nonprofit Reentry Columbia that assists incarcerated people as they leave prisons. Progressives have complained about several conservative positions Barrett has taken recently, especially around affordable housing issues, and Cousins calls her, and I quote, a conservative Democrat who's taking up room in the state assembly, end quote. Last September, current Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson said on WGXC that he is considering a primary challenge against Barrett. Johnson said on September 15th, and I quote, I'm not ruling out running for assembly. It's not out of the question. I think career-wise, that would be the next step, end quote. Barrett did not directly comment on the Cousin announcement, but her staff sent a statement about the current legislative session saying, and I quote, we successfully advocated for much-needed relief for ratepayers and utility customers and funding to help New Yorkers make energy-efficient home improvements. We included thoughtful language to electrify new construction across the state while allowing exemptions for structures and sectors that are difficult, if not impossible, to fully electrify, end quote. Primary election for Barrett would be in 2024. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Jamal Cutler reports for Columbia Green Media. The Ichabod Crane Central School District Board of Education unanimously appointed Marie DiGirolamo as superintendent effective July 1st. Susan Guntlow announced last October that she was stepping down as superintendent after 10 years in the role. DiGirolamo said, and I quote, this is a wonderful school district. My siblings are graduates, my family lived here for many years, and I still have friends in the community. I look forward to working with the board, staff, and families to provide the best education possible for our students and to promote a strong and unified spirit of writer pride and community, end quote. DiGirolamo has been assistant superintendent for curriculum and instruction in 2019 in the Niskayuna Central School District in Schenectady County. Before that, she was director of K-12 Social Studies, Word Language, English as a new language there. DiGirolamo has also been an assistant high school principal and junior-senior school principal at Taconic Hills Central School District, summer school assistant principal at North Colony Central School District, and a grade 8-12 French teacher at North Colony. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. A bipartisan effort in Congress may fix unintended consequences of a 2020 law that was meant to simplify college financial aid. Congress eliminated a long-standing exemption for farm families whose land holdings don't represent their regular income. Without a fix, the change could increase farm kids' tuition fivefold. Journalist Nick Ferrizos writes for Open Campus.
If you had a family farm, you didn't have to calculate the net worth of the farm, because a family farm isn't something you can just piece up and sell when it's time to go to college. Maybe if it was a stock, you could sell it, but you can't sell the auger that you're using to make a living as a family farm.
Overall, rural students graduate high school at similar rates to city kids, but they're less likely to complete a college degree, in part because of cost. Without revised legislation, Ferrizo says it could be out of reach for a whole generation of farm kids.
It's already a population that struggles at times to make it work in terms of attending post-secondary education.
Kentucky's horse industry is an economic powerhouse for the state, but suffering from a major labor shortage. Now, a trio from business, the nonprofit world, and a prison horsemanship program is offering a creative solution. Anya Sapien explains.
Lexington's Blackburn Correctional Complex had offered a horsemanship training program for 20 years, but few participants got related jobs upon release. Lori Mays with the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce identified the problem.
There's so many qualified gentlemen that come out of there, but a lot of times their only exposure to the horses was in prison. They don't know how to navigate the industry.
The Chamber of Commerce has addressed that need with job placement services, connecting graduates of the prison's training program with horse stables that desperately need more hands. Now, most graduates of the program leave prison with a job and a uniform, says Kim Weir with the Thoroughbred Rescue Foundation.
We're showing people what hope looks like. We're showing people what the power of a second chance is.
So far, none of the graduates who have been placed in a job have returned to prison. I'm Anya Slepian.
Whether you say potatoes or potatoes, Idaho is famous for them, and a fourth-generation farmer is using regenerative agriculture methods to benefit the land as well as the economy. Lad Whalen says introducing cover crops and plants that attract pollinators, along with less tilling of the soil, reduces the need for insecticides.
As we try these things and we're able to show the data and the metrics of how they're working and how they're beneficial, then I think hopefully there'll be less hesitation and more people will jump in and get involved.
Whalen is partnering with the Nature Conservancy on the Pioneering Potato Project. For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, a chance of showers mainly afternoon. It will be partly cloudy with a temperature high near 62 degrees. On Friday night, it will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 41 degrees. And on Saturday, sunny with a high near 68 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 46 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
All right, here is 2022 new music from U.S. Girls or Us Girls, depending on how you want to pronounce it. The song is called So Typically Now. On the radio at 90.7 FM, WGXC.
Yeah.
Are we on?
Back in five.
All right, let's go.
And three, two.
We are back, and I'm joined now by this fucking guy. Senator Cruz, gun violence has become an epidemic in this country, yet your party continues to offer little more than thoughts and...
Look, all of us have had people who've lost loved ones, and then the first thing you do when someone has lost a loved one is you reach out and say, hey, I'm lifting you up in prayer. I'm praying for you, your family.
Yeah, that's cute. But with all due respect, prayers don't stop these horrific tragedies. And should you really be sending out any more thoughts? I mean, you barely have any coming in to begin with. Because you're dumb.
And the modern day left is more and more extreme. They have this bizarre antipathy to God and to prayers.
Well, it seems the modern day right is more interested in firearms than in children's safety, veterans, health care, you know, fashion and moisturizing, obviously.
But the Democrats' proposal every time is always the same, which is take away guns.
Damn, it's scary just to check the news on your phone when we're living in a war zone. What, again? Jeez, not again, please. How can there be such nonchalance from Republicans? Here they come again with their favorite response. Thoughts and prayers. Tweet your corny last respects. Screw the laws and background checks. Who needs common sense? Sing a psalm like Pence. Thoughts and prayers, that would be appropriate if they all were running Hallmark stores. Thoughts and prayers won't save our lives. So go.